At 9:49 a.m. local time on the 13th of May, Air Force One touched down at the King Khalid International Airport Royal Terminal in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, kicking off the first major diplomatic trip of the president's second term. Over the next 4 days, the tour went from Riyadh to Doha to Abu Dhabi before flying back to Washington. But along the way, some of the biggest financing deals in history were discussed. The Saudi, Qatari, and Emirati governments all agreed to make investments of trillions of dollars into America, which was obviously met with a lot of enthusiasm. That much money could finance once-in-a-generation projects that provide employment to millions of people and strategic relevance even within the world's largest economy. It's easy to get excited about these numbers and what they could enable, and it's also exciting to see such confidence placed in an economy that's been testing it a bit recently. Oil-rich states are not the only ones lining up to write checks. Some of the biggest companies in the world have also recently pledged major investments into the American economy. But what is really motivating all this? The UAE's proposed investment would represent almost 3 times their annual GDP. Qatar's would be 5 times theirs. That means the entire Qatari economy would have to operate for 5 years straight just to finance this proposed investment. And that's not even mentioning the companies that have promised decades worth of their profits. So, with commitments on this scale, the question is, what are they really getting in return? Now, I don't want to keep you hanging just for the sake of watch time, so spoiler alert, but by really analysing these proposals, it becomes pretty clear that this whole thing is almost entirely bullshit.
Big investment in the US economy. Apple has just announced a big hiring spree. The iPhone maker plans to create 20,000 jobs over the next 4 years.
And 20 minutes ago, that Apple will hire 20,000 new workers and produce AI servers in the United States. The company planning to spend $500 billion domestically.
The UAE is investing $1.4 trillion in America. We're building a huge AI data center in their country.
President Trump's extraordinary trip to Saudi Arabia. He is at a state dinner.
The question is, what does Qatar want in return?
So maybe a better question is, why wouldn't these countries want to invest in America? The USA has the largest equity markets in the world, and it really isn't even close. The value of the companies listed on the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange is now greater than every other publicly listed company in the world 2 times over. A combination of a massive consumer market, robust legal institutions, and a pro-business economy has made America the undisputed hub of megacorporations. On the other hand, resource-rich nations in the Persian Gulf receive hundreds of billions of dollars every year from oil revenues. This money mostly comes in the form of US dollars because it's easier for international oil companies to transact in a reserve currency. This means that these countries have been able to amass hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign exchange reserves in just the span of a few decades. However, they also live with the knowledge that their entire economy is built on one single export. And no matter how crucial that export is, there's always a risk in putting that many eggs in a single basket. For the last 20 years, the question has been, what happens when the oil runs out? Now, the good news is that Saudi Arabia has about 100 years worth of proven oil reserves at the current rate of production, so they have some time to think about it. But that's not actually their biggest concern. A much scarier question is, what happens if the oil never runs out? It sounds dumb, but it's already happening to countries with another type of fossil fuel. Global demand for coal has been stagnant for more than half a century at this point, despite the global economy being almost 100 times larger overall. There's an exception, though. The coal industry has almost exclusively been carried by the growth of China in the 21st century. However, over the last 15 years, even that has plateaued as they slowly adopt greener alternatives for electricity and steel production. Major exporters like Indonesia and Australia are now in a race to sell off their coal before demand dries up completely, and even then, most analyses suggest that they'll still be left with a lot buried in the ground that's just not worth it to dig up. If the same thing were to happen to petroleum products, the Gulf states could find themselves in trouble long before their reserves ran dry. Tensions among OPEC members, a slowdown in global transport, new alternative extraction methods, and a shift to greener technologies are all an immediate threat to this lifeline of revenue, and this is just what's happening right now. Who knows what the next decades will look like, which means even oil needs a backup plan. Now, these countries have been planning for this for a long time. They've taken their oil revenues and used them to make strategic investments to keep their countries relevant well into the future. The only problem has been they kinda suck at investing. The oversight and transparency of the public investment funds deploying all the capital are laughably bad across the peninsula. Most outside experts agree that these sovereign wealth funds have effectively become the public piggy bank of ruling families, with money being allocated to passion projects like esports teams, vanity infrastructure development, football stars past their prime, failing car companies, lavish golf tournaments, questionable biotechnology, and anything that SoftBank has ever touched.
As I understand the story, you went in and in 1 hour you convinced him to invest $45 billion.
No. It's not true.
Okay.
45 minutes, $45 billion.
Okay.
To put it kindly, most of these investments would not stand up to even elementary cost-benefit analyses. And so, while stock markets around the world have had some of their best decades ever, the investment returns that are supposed to support these countries into their future beyond oil have been subpar. In fact, most of their largest projects have ended up costing them money, not only in regular investment losses, but also in maintenance on keeping big projects from crumbling. These countries would have been much better off taking this money and investing it in a broad market index fund instead. For other oil-rich states, that's exactly what they already do. In total, the state of Norway has invested the equivalent of around $500 billion American dollars in its equivalent fund. But because these investments were actually managed well, the fund is now worth over $2 trillion, and that was with comparatively conservative, low-risk investment approach. The Gulf states have a lot of money, and they need a better place to invest it. The American economy has the biggest investment markets in the world, so these huge investment announcements just seem like the logical thing to do, right?
I rest my case.
You rest your case?
What? Oh no, I thought that was just a figure of speech. Case closed.
So yeah, there's a little bit more going on here. Even though a more conservative, broad market investment strategy in the broadest market in the world probably is a good idea, these countries are promising to go about it in a really interesting way. The announcements were extremely light on details, and what was revealed suggests that the states would continue to make direct investments into specific projects, rather than just investing in existing businesses. One of the few projects that was specifically announced is a new aluminium smelting plant that'll be operated by the Emirates Global Aluminium, a state-owned company headquartered in Dubai. The company actually already had aluminium production facilities in the USA after it purchased Spectro Alloys in 2024, but that business was quite small and only handled scrap metal recycling rather than raw ore smelting. This could be a huge opportunity for both the Emirates and the USA because aluminium production has been mostly abandoned since other countries with lower energy costs could produce it far more economically. But with a push for onshoring industries with aggressive trade wars, America is going to need to rebuild these facilities, and if it can be financed by a foreign government, then win-win, right? Maybe, but there's a reason why America has abandoned this industry. It takes an immense amount of electricity, and with expensive energy, they just aren't competitive with other countries that can produce energy cheaper. Ironically, one of those countries is the UAE itself, which has some of the largest and most competitive aluminium production in the world. But even if this was a competitive investment, it would barely move the needle on the $1.4 trillion commitment made by the Emirates. On the extreme high end, even facilities like the Ras Al Khaimah plant in Saudi Arabia, one of the biggest aluminium complexes in the world, cost $10.8 billion to construct and commission. The proposed American plan would be an order of magnitude smaller than this, and even still would represent less than 1% of the proposed investment. So they have an interesting track record with investments. What they have announced is probably not economically viable, and almost everything else is a complete mystery, and they don't even have enough money to make these commitments. The UAE is an immensely wealthy country, but its foreign exchange reserves are less than a quarter of the proposed investment. Even with a concentrated investment plan forsaking any kind of domestic development, these goals are just not realistic. It's like your cousin who just got their first 100k a year job talking about buying an apartment complex for its passive income. It sounds reasonable, maybe even responsible, but even though 100k is a good income, it's not in the league to be making these kinds of commitments. So then, what's really going on? Well, it's just good old-fashioned bullshit. the highly export-dependent Gulf states get to cozy up to the new administration as global trade tensions rise, and the new administration gets to make a big announcement about bringing investment back to America. By the time anybody notices that these deals aren't going anywhere, there'll be a new administration in office, and the current leadership will be able to talk about how weak they are by not even being able to follow through on a deal that they secured for them. Now, as a Brit, I'm not taking a stance on stupid political games. This is not a one-sided issue, and it certainly isn't anything new. Local American companies play exactly the same game. When Apple was facing pressure from the Biden administration over anti-competitive practices, it announced plans to invest $430 billion in America over the next 5 years and create 20,000 new jobs. Now, as it's facing tariff pressures from the Trump administration, it's announced plans to invest $500 billion over the next 5 years and create another 20,000 new jobs. And 6 years ago, under the last Trump administration, they also announced plans to invest $350 billion over 5 years and create 20,000 new jobs. From their first promise, they are now a year overdue. No significant increases in investment have been made, and the company has followed industry trends and started laying people off. It's all just theater. It gives everybody a headline they can brag about, and by the time it actually comes to writing checks, everybody else has moved on. But I won't forget, and in fact, I'll make you all a deal. If any of these proposed investments actually get made in the next 5 years, I will personally delete this channel. So maybe while you can, please consider subscribing and check this video on how the global shipping industry only kind of actually works.